Good morning, good afternoon, friends. Welcome to the Q2 FY22 earnings call of InfoBeans Limited. I will now hand over the call to Surabhi Jain from InfoBeans to do the formal introductions and get this earnings call going. Surabhi, over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining this Q2 and half year and earnings call for InfoBeans Technologies Limited. I request all the participants to please mute their mic. The results are available on the InfoBeans website. In case anyone does not have a copy of the same, please do write to us. We will be happy to send over it to you. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer your questions, we have today with us Mr. Avinash Sethi, co-founder and CFO, Mr. Hitesh Bohra, co-founder and president, Mr. Siddharth Sethi, co-founder and CEO. We will be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance, and then we will follow up with a Q&A session. Kindly submit your questions in the chat box after the brief overview by Avinash is over, and we will address all the questions one by one. I would like to remind you all that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with uncertainties and risks that they face. These uncertainties and risks are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with the SEBI and subsequent annual report, which you will find on our website. With that said note, now I turn over the call to Mr. Avinash.
Thank you, Surabhi. Thank you, Divakar, for hosting the call. And thank you all the participants for joining us. I'm pretty excited and happy to share the quarterly results, and there are more updates for you as well. So let's move on to the next slide, please. So InfoBeans, as you all know, is a digital transformation and product engineering company. We focus on creating innovative solutions to solve complex business problems for all enterprise customers that we have. We have more than 16 Fortune 500 customers, and they're present in USA, Europe, Middle East, and India. So a quick glance, InfoBeans was founded in 2000, 21 years in business, 110 clients, wow, till date, 1,000 plus team members, and 16 Fortune 500 clients. The financial summary for last year, March 21, 196 crores in top line, 36.8 crores in PAT, more than 100 crores of reserves, and a 43% CAGR since inception. We've been associated in multiple software powerhouses like Microsoft, Salesforce, UiPath, ServiceNow, Automatic, and we've been awarded several times by Great Place to Work, Dream Companies to Work For, Asia's Best Employer Awards. This is a transformation over the years, incorporated in 2000 and Indore, expanded in the world over, signed the first Fortune 500 client right after the inception in the second year, and then moved on the journey, being into SEC from 2014. Actually, before that also, so this was a much larger office that set up in Indore in 2014. Then, went public in 2017. And acquired a company in 2019. And there's an announcement that we're going to do today as well. So we did a buyback early this year. So some of the few clients that we are very proud of to be associated with: ALM, IQBA, GoAdvantage, Facebook, Wiretech, and Mobi. Is in Unicorn in India. There's a company under NDA, which is a Fortune 500 data storage and data services company. Another big player is Fortune 200 company, which is a logistics player. And then Ola, which is another unicorn in India. By the way, we've got Baidu's also a new client, which is a unicorn. So The board of directors and executive team, Siddharth, Mukesh, and Avinash, all three of us are here, fortunately. Mr. Santosh Munchal, Sumer Bahadur Singh, and Shilpa, they were there in today's board meeting in the morning. They are our independent directors. I'm very proud of this experienced core team. Most of them are homegrown, and they are the leaders which provide the strength to scale up at a faster pace. So we are very dependent on these people, and we are very happy and proud that they are part of the journey. And they've been with us, you know, you can see, you know, for those decades, all of them, each one of them. And then we have two founders, philosophy, who's also part of the leadership team, helping the business grow faster. Some of the key performances. We've been growing significantly. You can see from FY17, which is the year when we got listed, versus FY21. We kind of doubling ourselves every 3 years, 84 to 164 and 97 to 196 and so on. At a CAGR of 23.5% for the last 4 years. EBITDA margins have been consistently improving. PAT is also on the increasing path. ROE, ROC has improved. The net worth is constantly on the higher path. Dividend payout has also been fairly well. So look at the operating revenue performance from quarter to quarter. We have grown about 9%. On a yearly basis, we have grown at 36%. This is the operating revenue. On the EBITDA side, we have grown at 4% Q on Q, but almost double growth, almost 96% growth YOY from 8 crores to 16 crores. PAT has been 10% Q on Q and 147% year on year, which is going very well. So for the first half, H1 revenue has grown 29% as compared to H1 of 2020. Similarly, EBITDA has grown up 44% and PAT has grown up 81%. On a quarterly basis, total revenue has increased to 53% from 55 to 64. Sorry, 42 to 64. And EBITDA 96% to 16.5 crores. PAT 147% to 11.7 crores. On a USD term, growth is 8.4% Q on Q. So here is the consolidated P&L. I was talking about the total revenue growing up from 42 to 65, which is a significant growth. However, the expenses have also increased from 38 to 53. Let me tell you that after September 20, we had two appraisals, one in October, the second one in March 21, which is where the increased expenses have happened. Plus, there are more other expenses. Travel has started. Facilities are also operating. So the increase in expenses have also started to happen. There is a significant other income showing up. It is on account of a government grant that we got in the US. Therefore, I keep saying that we will be able to protect our EBITDA margins at a steady state level of 24% or so. We are doing good at this point in time. Last quarter, it was 28, almost 29%. But we will come back to normal margins. And PAT margins, we are comfortable at in the range of 15%. We are doing good at this point in time, but we'll come back to steady state margins at 15%. So numbers are pretty much in line. On a balance sheet, there is not much of a movement. Typically, investments are getting redeemed or reinvested, and some lease liabilities are getting reduced slightly. So not much to talk here. This is one of the important slides that I keep in all my presentations. This is where the growth strategy of Infomedia is. This is at a broad level, there are two things that we are focused on: organic growth, and the second one is inorganic growth. So organic growth continues in terms of team expansion, in terms of sales teams, in terms of delivery expansion, in terms of building client relationships, acquiring new clients, focused on specialized skill sets, building R&D capabilities, investing in people, investing in infrastructure. All that continues. And similarly, on the inorganic side, we continue to acquire companies that we feel is a right fit. We take enough time and due diligence to pick out the right target, which we feel has a long-term potential, has a long-term value. At the same time, aligned with our culture, with the ethos that we operate in. And therefore, we feel that if it is a right fit, only then we go ahead and take up to the acquisition space. So that continues. I think this strategy has worked out well for us last 4 years since we got listed. So we continue to invest more time and energy and money into these strategies. So this is what I talked about. We've been growing, doubling ourselves every 3 years at this point in time. We have a strong CAGR of, if you look at total income, is grown by 26%, EBITDA 36%. This is CAGR, which is annual growth rate for the last 5 years. So we are a debt-free company, strong powder pipeline, and highly committed and focused team. Next, please. So let me give you the update on the M&A. So 2-3 months ago, we signed a term sheet with a company in Pune, a Salesforce company. And this morning, so after our due diligence, we got an approval from our board to acquire 100% equity of the company. And I'm very happy and proud to announce to all of you that we have signed on the definitive agreements and decided to acquire Eternus Solutions Private Limited, which is a platinum consulting partner of Salesforce. And if you look at our growth strategy, I've been talking about acquiring companies in the ServiceNow space or Salesforce space, and that continued this time also. Eternus is a pure play Salesforce company. They have a team of 250 people. They are projecting to do 60 crores in revenue this year and about 16 crores in EBITDA this year. So we are very happy to fold in Eternus. The way the deal is structured is we'll be offering 130 crores. For 100% equity. It will be paid over 3.5 years until March 25. And there's an additional earnout component, which is an incentive of 20 crores based on the projections, based on the revenue and EBITDA projections that they've provided to us. If they supersede it by 10%, then we'll be paying 20 crores in total over the next 3.5 years. In 2023, 2024, 2025. They are projected to grow at 32% in revenue and profits. The EBITDA margin is over 25%. So they are margin accretive to us. And hopefully we'll be able to close and pay by end of November. So the actual consolidation will start from 1st of December. That's the target as of now. With that, I think we can jump on to Q&A. I think we are all covered. So I wanted to run through this presentation quickly and then open the forum for Q&A because we'll want to spend more time there. I'm sure you'll have several queries out there, but we also look forward to address each one of those and answer the queries. Let's move forward. Divakar, you want to manage this? Or
I'll do that. You know, before we start, a kind request to the participants, we're not going to take the questions on the chat board. Much easier if you raise your hand and ask a question. There'll be time for, you know, we can continue the session till all questions are answered. That is point number one. Point number two, you know, when you're coming on the queue, kindly restrict yourself to two per participant in the interest of having other people also ask. You can come back in the queue. And as we said, we have, we'll ensure that all of you get a chance to ask questions. And, you know, given the fact that this time around, we have all the founders around. So in case you have a specific question or to a specific founder, you can ask by name or, you know, you can just post a generic question and Avinash will kind of direct it to whoever is there in the call. So kind of, and again, it's my pleasure to welcome both Mitesh and Siddharth on the call. The last call I had it only with Avinash here. So welcome. And I do hope that we have a engaging discussion. With that said, I'm going to kind of start with the Q&A session. The first question comes from the line of, and then one more last thing before we kind of, before anyone comes on, before I ask the question, just state your name and the organization that you represent. That will help the management also understand where you're from. Okay, thank you. So the first question comes from the line of Devrat Himmat Singha. Devrat, I've unmuted you. You need to unmute yourself and go ahead and talk. Can you just knock off the screen, Surabhi, if possible?
Hi. Am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible. Yeah.
Hello, Avinashi. Good to see Siddharth and Mitesh on the call after a while. Hi. So, Avinashi, I had a few questions. The first one being, what would be, say, the revenue of this new company that we've acquired? And
it is expected to be 60 crores in this fiscal year.
For this fiscal year? Okay. And we are expecting a growth of 32% of that, correct?
That's what they projected.
Okay. And my next question would be...
It's projected.
Yeah. It is not. The growth is not on 60 crores. 60 crores is what we are already projecting.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So... The next question would be, you know, the employee costs have gone up quite a bit. So is that because of higher hiring or is that just standalone costs, that cost increases that you've given to your employees?
Yes. So Devrat, it is a combination of all of those. One is there are two appraisals back to back, October and March. And there's a lot of parity leveling that has happened because if we hire somebody at a higher cost and in that group the team has to be leveled with that competitive salary. So internal leveling has taken place. And third is we have also given proactive raise to a lot of performers that we feel we need to reduce or protect our team. So we need to do that as well. So it's a combination of all of those.
Okay, and does attrition still remain like a big concern over the immediate short term that you see?
It is definitely a big concern.
Okay, what are attrition levels right now, if I may ask?
So it is upwards of 20%.
Okay.
Devrat, you need to come back in the queue, please. Let's follow a rule. We have two questions per participant. You can come back again in the queue.
Okay, sure.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
The next question comes from the line of VP Rajesh from Banner Capital. VP, go ahead.
Thanks, Divakar. Hi, Avinash. Good to see you and the other founders, Mitesh and Dhruv.
Thank you.
So, Avinash, congratulations on this deal. I just want to clarify that what you're saying is that last year the revenues were 45 crores, which are growing 32% to become roughly around 60 crores by the end of this financial year. Is that correct?
So last year number was 40. This year they are doing 60. Next year they are projecting 30% growth on top of it.
Okay, okay. And relatedly, are you planning to raise any debt, or you will just finance it from the cash on the books?
We have sufficient cash in the books.
Right.
But yeah, we're not averse to taking debt, but we have no plans right now.
Okay. And my second question is just on the margin side. Do you foresee with this combined business, what kind of margins can we do in fiscal year 23?
So the margins are good. They are doing more than 25% EBITDA. So we feel it is similar margin that we have. It should be predicted.
So you're saying 24% is possible for fiscal year 23 also, given all the travel costs that are coming back and the employee costs which are going up?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
We tend to work towards making it as a steady state margin for us. We've been doing it for the last so many years. We are hopeful we'll be able to do it in future also.
Great. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you, VP. I much appreciate. The next question comes from the line of Subodh Fadnis. Subodh, I've unmuted you. Please go ahead. You need to unmute yourself before you speak. Subodh, you need to unmute yourself before you speak.
So Subodh is asking whether we have plans to invest in data center. Sikari, you want to take this?
Yeah, sure. No, we don't have any plans to invest in a data center. So we are an enterprise digital transformation and product engineering company, mostly on the software side. Data center is a little bit out of the league, at least for the next foreseeable future. So right now, it is not on the cards.
Yeah, since I can't hear from Subodh, I'm sorry about the little bit of noise from my side. The next question comes to the line of Hiten Muchhala. Hiten, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. And it's good to see Avinash sitting this time along with the other two founders. Siddharth and Mitesh. So great to see all three of you together. And hi from my side. I remember that last couple of quarters, Avinash had been speaking about employee attrition being a big problem for most major IT companies. In this era of, you know, inflationary pressure where, you know, salary is going to be a big inflation, especially for IT companies. We being a relatively a smaller player in the IT segment, and I mean, obviously, there's no harm in being small because every small company becomes big. But how do we, what are the strategies that we are adopting to actually attract talent? That is one. And second is, how are we planning to pass over this incremental cost to our customers going forward?
So I'll let Siddharth and Mitesh take the cost part. And I'll talk about quickly about the talent, how do we attract talent. So we've been doing multiple things. One is we've been investing in our people at the bottom of the pyramid. We are looking at fresh talent and grooming them. So this year we plan to have more than 150 fresh graduates. We already got 80 plus, and the remaining part of the year we'll get 70 plus more to add to our bottom of the pyramid. Second, we are investing in our existing team in grooming them, making them multi-skilled talent. It's kind of an all-rounder, so to speak, so they can handle multiple skills. We're also upgrading them to the new ones so that, you know, they're faster. Apart from that, we're also cross-training people from one technology to another, so it's kind of migrating them to a new ones, like particularly Salesforce or ServiceNow. So we're building those capabilities internally also. Plus, we continue to hire from everywhere in India. And we're now thinking of going out also in terms of neighboring geographies like Philippines or Bangladesh or other places. So this is where I think we have to definitely look out for new solutions. So this is, you know, part of your answer. Siddharth, in case you want to address the cost part.
So regarding the cost, our clients, see, we have very deep relationships with our clients, and our relationships with our clients have gone for decades and more. And we always believe in working the core businesses of our clients. So when we go to our clients with a request to increase our pricing, our costs, our billing, sometimes they're more than happy to do it actually, because they depend on us. So we have been successful to a large extent in doing that. The other thing is that Infobeans is investing in its future, and we're building, as Avinash said, a very strong team in some of the very new age technologies. And those new age technologies allow us to ask for a premium. And this acquisition is also a step in that direction. So if you look at Salesforce is a leading CRM cloud platform in the world. Our footprint on Salesforce is already about 100 people. And with this acquisition, we are probably going to be one of the larger Salesforce teams in the country. Not the largest, but one of the larger ones. A total team size of close to 350 people. And that will also give us a lot of pricing power. So two ways, premium pricing, going up the ladder, and making sure that our clients depend on us, providing them highly value-added services. And in return, we get what we ask.
Yeah, thank you. So just a follow-on to that is the concern as an investor or as a shareholder or as a part owner of the company would be that, you know, on one side, we are talking about 20% plus attrition rates. On the other side, we are talking about, you know, almost 25-30% plus of growth rates. How are we trying to balance this? And second thing is what Avinash mentioned was we are also looking for talents in neighboring countries like Bangladesh, Philippines. Would that also mean that we are likely to have another office or setup over there in that country?
Setup is not really required these days. We are actually questioning ourselves as to what are we doing in the office these days. So it's a very tricky situation actually. Remote working has worked out well. So definitely for the neighboring countries or any other distant location, we'll certainly not have any office there.
Regarding the attrition, I have a point. See, at Infobeans, we have a very solid core team. Our senior team attrition is close to zero. I think that is what one needs to be worried about when we are growing. So we have the right leaders in place. We have more than, I think, 200 people plus who have spent more than 5 years with us. And they are incentivized not only by the heart, but also by stock options. And at a company of our size, giving out stock options is practically unheard of unless you are a new age startup. So I think attrition at the bottom of the pyramid is something that we should not really worry about, especially when you are growing. It is there, but it is something that, you know, we can easily manage. What we need to really worry about is attrition at the top, which I again say is absolutely close to zero. Hardly 0.5%, one or two guys leaving, and that too doesn't hurt us that much.
All right. Thank you very much for answering my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vithin.
Thank you, Vithin. The next question comes from the line of Pragul Rajendran. Pragul, you're good to go now. Unmute yourself and then speak. Pragul, your line is open. You need to unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Congratulations for posting a great number. It speaks a lot in terms of your capabilities. You were speaking about, like, you are venturing into AI and ML, like, wanted to know a little more on that front, like, what kind of work you would be doing?
Prabhul, what we have been experiencing over the last 4 or 5 years since AI and ML has really started to become mainstream as a part of software development initiatives, is it is very inherent these days as a part of any digital transformation work that we do or product engineering work we do. There are a lot more AI and ML initiatives on the different product sides, on the enterprise side, that we are seeing from the companies. companies like Salesforce, companies like ServiceNow, and our ability to inculcate and adopt all of those abilities that they are building in their products is what's helping us build value system for our clients using such enterprise tools. And that goes both for digital transformation world as well as product world, where we are actually the ones who are developing products for our clients, which are largely based on AI. So that's what we see as an ongoing continuing journey. And we feel that there is going to be the need for everybody in the software engineering arena to become well-versed with AI and ML. And it doesn't need to be a separate practice, so to speak.
Thank you, Avinash, for answering those questions. That's pretty much from my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Divakar, you're mute.
Sorry. Yeah. The next question comes from the line of Siddhant Dand. Siddhant, go ahead. You need to unmute as well. Yeah.
Hi. I just wanted to get an idea about, you know, our order backlog and our contract durations of our company. You know, is it a short-term, you know, solutions, or is it a long-term, you know, multi-year deals that we sign? So if you could give an idea on that.
Sure. So it's a good mix these days, Siddhant. We've been signing up contracts which are more than a year long. There are actually multi-year contracts at this time. The majority of those contracts are, you know, 6 to 12 months. Because clients operate like that. They operate on a project basis. They would have an MSA which is spanning for 3 to 5 years, but the SOWs, the statement of work, which is specific to a project, keeps coming. And, you know, in all this 21 years of journey, we have clients that have been with us for, you know, 12 years, 15 years, very, very long association with clients. And in each of those cases, we know that these projects are going to continue. These projects are going to extend, or, you know, there's a new one coming, because people, companies, they split out their work in phases. So they'll give you first phase, and then they'll give you second phase, and so on and so on. That is also part of their planning. So we are aware of those. We are aware of those visibilities. We know that this is where it's going to go, whether it is a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year engagement. But the contract may not say that. So this is the nature of IT services. And if you look at our top 10 clients, the average age is more than 8 years. So that is how.
Okay, that last line was quite okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Siddhant. I think I'm getting some frantic messages on the chat board saying I need to ask a question. Everyone will get an opportunity to ask a question. You know, there are about 10 to 12 people in the queue, so you need to wait for your turn. Yeah. So the next question comes from the line of Anand Jain. Anand, please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. It's a good pleasure to meet you guys. This is the first time that I'm taking such kind of meeting. I'm a small investor. I would like to really understand in the starting of the quarter, the InfoBee share was around 515 or 510. Suddenly it goes down to 380 or 370 or 350. So what was the reason? Do we lost any kind of big projects or any team? What was the reason so that I can able to understand how I should get invest in the company?
So that's a very tricky question, Anand. There is no way I can tell you how business is getting linked with the stock price. These are two different mechanisms in my mind. You know, so there is nothing that has gone down in the last so many years in my mind. On a quarterly basis, there is no such significant event that I can think of which would have had this impact. Now, there is a counter question that I can ask you is, you know, why did it go up from, let's say, 140 to 400? Right? There is no way I can answer that. It is probably the recognition in the market that they are figuring out the value of the business, and then they are, you know, value the business like that. But from a company performance point of view, we've been delivering the way we've been delivering, and we hope we'll continue to do that the same way.
Okay, thank you, sir, for the answer. I hope that I will going to be keep invested in the company, looking to the figures and looking to the brand that the Infobean has set, especially in Indore, because I belong to a software industry. I'm also a project manager. So Infobean is my dream company, but I have my own startup, a small startup that I'm doing since 2012. So hopefully if I get chance, I can join your team. Thank you, sir.
All the best, Anand.
Thank you, Anand. Next question comes from the line of Rajesh. Rajesh, I've unmuted you. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So Avinash, just on the cash side, what was the cash at the end of September 30th?
We are at 156 crores, including receivables. If I remove receivables, it will be about 118,
right?
Yes.
Okay. And if I heard you correctly, did you say that you will pay this 130 crore over 3 years? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. That's great, actually. So then you will not really need any debt, right? Because you will have enough cash flow in each year with the current cash to pay off this.
Exactly.
Okay. That's good. Good. And on the client side, I didn't see any slide about your top 10 clients or your customer concentration. So maybe you can comment on that.
So we did have a client slide. It was more logos. We've not been sharing the top 10 concentration so far. I think we'll start with this. Usually, if I look at the top 10 customers, we'll be probably doing more than 70% from the top 10 customers. Our strategy has been very active, focus on less number of customers, but try to build long-term relationship and deep relationship with these companies so that we continue to serve them year over year with a larger ticket size.
Okay. And then, Diwakar, can I ask one more question, if that's okay?
This is the last one for you. So you need to come back to queue. Yeah.
Sure. So on a pro forma basis, let's say if you put the company you're acquiring and yours, how will this change? Meaning like this top 10 will go even higher or it will come down a little bit?
It will come down a little bit because the client distribution determines I think maybe top one or two might fall into our top 10. But so the percentage will probably change.
Okay.
I do not plan that analysis very honestly.
All right, sure. No, but again, congratulations. This is very exciting that you had talked about this acquisition on the last call. And this is the area that you are looking to grow into. So it's very heartening to see that this is moving forward.
Yes. We are.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vipi. The next question, incidentally, also from the line of another Rajesh. Rajesh, please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rajesh.
Yeah, my question is like, what is the net profit margins for the philosophy company that we acquired a few years back? Can we have the standalone and consolidated figures also, please?
Sure. So philosophy has done little over 2 million this quarter. Mm-hmm. And they are doing about 630K in operating margins.
Mm-hmm. US dollars.
US dollars, yeah.
Okay. So in that case, what would be the net profit margins for that? Would it be similar to what we are doing in Infobeans?
Yes.
In general?
Yes.
That would be close to 15%?
Pesh might have a better answer to this.
Okay, so the numbers, as you mentioned, Avinash, they are correct. What we are looking at from a US versus India point of view, we are actually starting to look at going forward, utilizing the inflationary pressure that we are seeing in the US market being reflected in higher rates being charged as a part of the premium offering that philosophy has on design and innovation side. So with that, Our hope continues to remain that we will be able to continue to manage parity between both sides of the oceans in terms of overall margins that we were having.
Mm-hmm. And what would be the net profit margins for the company that we have acquired or we are planning to acquire?
So I think that the similar range, a EBITDA margin of 25% and a PAT margin of about 15-16%.
So will it be close to like, again, 15-16% net profit margin?
Yeah, So I think it is value accretive to us right from the day one.
Okay, yeah, thank you. I'm all set. Thank you.
Thank you, Rajesh. Much appreciated. Next question comes from the line of Sachit Motwani from Param Capital. Sachit, go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, loud and clear.
Thanks. Hi, Avinash. Hi, Mitesh. Hi, Siddharth. Congrats on the acquisition. My first question is, I just wanted to understand this 130 crores, how would that be paid over the 3.5 year period? Would be in equal installments or just wanted to get some color on that.
Sure. So I think at the closing, so right in this month, in the month of November, we'll be paying about 65 crores.
Okay.
And 13 crores in probably March, April of 22.
Okay.
Then remaining will be split, equally for the next 3 years.
Okay. So 65 crores now in November, then 30 crores in March, and then after that it will be split evenly for the remainder of the time, right?
13.
Oh, okay. 13. Okay. In March 22.
So 78 in the next 4 months.
Understood. My second question is, if I look at Eternus, I think they have a very large client base, some 450 plus clients. And Infobeans and Philosophy are used to work with a limited set of clients and try and mine them. So I just wanted to understand this from a synergetic perspective. So when you did your due diligence, did you see a very good client base that can be added to Infobeans plus Philosophy network?
I think there is a clarification that needs to happen on the 450. That's a total clientele over the last 10 years.
Oh.
Also, in the enterprise implementation segment, when a company that goes on implementing Salesforce or ServiceNow for that matter, when they go on implementing them, it becomes a client opportunity. But whether they are able to continue that going forward or not depends on the next level of implementation. What we have seen typically in this space, especially enterprise implementation space, is companies with a larger base of clients will end up with a handsome number of clients still, which will have a continued opportunity. So 450 will never be the number that you will anytime look at any enterprise segment company in that, for that matter. So out of 450, if you are able to capitalize and build deep relationships over the next few years with even 10% of the company, that's 45. That's a very, very decent number for any company. The bigger advantage that we look for is bringing in our repository of expertise and capabilities in digital transformation and product engineering to such clients. So an example here will be Philosophy as a design and innovation consulting firm. We will be able to take that competency and capability across all of Eternus clients as we are doing that with Infobeans. Similarly, a lot of automation and other capabilities that Infobeans has, we will be able to take to both Eternus Solutions clients as well as we are taking to Philosophy clients.
And why did the co-founders wanted to take an exit, given that we are looking at 100% growth for them?
So they have not taken an exit. They will be with us for the next at least three and a half years. So they will be part of the growth story.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much. Thanks a lot and all the best, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sachit.
Thank you, Sachit. The next question comes from the line of Hitul Sonpal. Hitul, go ahead.
Hey, hi, guys. How are you?
Hey.
Pleasure to see you guys together. Congrats on the numbers. Two questions. The first one is with regard to acquisition. What's the behind the scenes story as far as acquisition is concerned? I'm seeing that every quarter you're actually giving us new surprises. So what's the portfolio number of companies which you would actually evaluate before deciding this? How much has culture played a role as far as the integration is concerned?
So we look at a large number of companies before we narrow down. I think I shared one of the processes probably in the last call also, where a lot of deal flows come to me. I evaluate, I look at the company, I speak to the advisors or the founders. If I find it valuable, then I introduce it to get it into power. And we have a practice to individually meet and evaluate the company on our own. So the founder connections happen. And then we three consolidate our views. And if we feel that we have to do a good alignment, then we go to the next step. And that is how the penetration happens. So yes, it is probably 1 in 100 that we finally settled on to. So it is a very lengthy and long-term process. It takes a lot of bandwidth. But culture is of highest importance, I think. The reason why the three founders personally go and meet the founders on the other side is to get that vibe, get that cultural connect and feeling of what the business is all about and how the founders are, how they created this company, what is their motivation factors. So I think it is a deep dive into those things. But obviously can't explain that as a process, but that is a lot of practice.
No, that's great. My second question, the answer should be much shorter. We've seen hybrid as a form of work taking a lot of importance now in the IT industry. What are the percentage of margins do you expect to improve upon with the hybrid workforce coming in? So just a raw number, what percentage of workforce will continue to work from home? And going forward, is that going to impact your numbers in any way?
Yeah, Hital, this is Siddharth. We don't see the margins getting affected. Rather, I think the margins will actually grow better if we continue to see
the positive impact. Yeah.
Overall, it should be a positive thing. Our dream is that people should come to the office at least 80% of the time. When that happens, I'm not sure, next 6 months, next 3 months, next 12 months. But we do want people to come into the office because we value the culture at Infobeans a lot. And if you're sitting just in front of a screen at your home and you're not interacting with real human beings face to face physically, then we believe that the culture gets eroded. So even today, we have at least a 30-35% attendance on a daily basis, at least 4 days a week in the office. When other IT companies, including TCS and Infosys, are struggling with less than, I think, a few percentage, like less than 5% or something. So it's a huge push from our end to ask people to come to the office. Many are coming and many will, sort of come out of the mental fear, the COVID situation. And we are personally, I am very hopeful that by the beginning of next year, when more people get vaccinated, etc., they will start coming to the office. It is very important for us that they do come to the office at least a few days a week.
Got it. Thanks a lot, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Hital.
Thank you, Hital. The next question is from the line of Varun Agrawal. Varun, you can unmute yourself and go ahead.
Thank you, Diwakar, for giving me this opportunity. Hi, Avinashji. It's good to see all three of you together in the call this time. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. You have lived up to our expectations and we are very happy to see the numbers.
Thank you.
My first question is about the increase in the employee cost. Would we see a similar impact in the second half of the year also?
Yeah, so the impact is already taken. It will just continue the next quarter.
The second thing is about
Varun and for other people on the call as well. The employee cost has increased, as Avinash said, that we are adding a bunch of fresh talent also. So
yes,
Queens as an organization and this acquisition also, we are investing proactively in the future. We are very, very in a good situation in terms of our growth, very positive mindset, and the next few years for the IT industry in general and for Infobeans in particular, we have a very positive mindset and we want to utilize this opportunity the best we can. So the increase in cost also reflects a piece of future building.
Yes, we totally understand that. The next question is about whether we are targeting any niche business line or any line of service, any niche are we targeting in the coming future? And are upcoming acquisitions aligned as per that?
Yeah.
So So the Salesforce acquisition that we just is exactly that. This company does nothing but Salesforce. They're a platinum partner with Salesforce. Salesforce, as you might know, is the world's leading CRM and cloud platform. So at this point, 25% of the company will be doing Salesforce work.
Okay. Thank you for answering my question and all the best for the coming quarters. We'll see you again in the next call.
Absolutely. Take care.
Thank you, Varun. I much appreciate your questions. If anyone else has a question, you can press the raise hand button while I take Anirudh Bhandari on the call. Anirudh, please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations to the entire team at InfoBeans for this outstanding results. And over the past 2 years, we have been delivering a great set of numbers. My question is on integration of philosophy. So when we acquired it two and a half years back, we wanted to cross-sell to its existing customers. So could you just throw some light on how is it going and are we expecting some big customers from that?
Hi, Anirudh. So as you mentioned, it's been 2 years and the effort has been ongoing in terms of figuring out the best way to leverage synergies. If I were to take a slightly deeper dive into how we are looking at integration, one of the core areas which InfoBeans brings its strength in is taking our relationship to a deeper level and a much longer term level. Philosophy in its strength has a very good ability to sign on, bring on new customers through design and innovation. And once the customer comes on board, that's when InfoBeans' abilities and our repository of services becomes very attractive for retention of the clients beyond the initial design and innovation efforts. So that's something that we have been focusing very heavily on. And in fact, there are many clients that we have fully, almost fully converted from design and innovation opportunities into InfoBeans engineering opportunities on an ongoing basis. While design and innovation opportunities might emerge in the future with them, we now have them as our ongoing customers. So some of these elements continue to happen. At the same time, our own customers who continue to look at newer design and newer innovation opportunities, we continue to bring InfoBeans, to bring philosophy capabilities there, and we continue to create an increased wallet share in terms of our clients. So that's been happening very well. Both the founders of Philosophy continue to work with us. That is another very positive sign that they have also bought into the whole idea of how we want to create long-term value for our ecosystem.
Great. And second is on a bit of reporting side. So now, since we are a 300 crore company next year on top line and no more a 200 market cap, we are around 1,100 crore market cap. So did we have any thoughts of bringing in Big Four statutory and internal auditors? The reason why I'm asking is the reporting on cash flows has not been on par. I mean, every company today reports cash flows in more details, not just line items. So that's what I wanted to know. That would improve our corporate governance as well.
So surely appreciate, Anirudh, we are on track. We have somebody next year. So we are already in process of doing that. We take corporate governance very seriously. And we are already working in that direction.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Anirudh. Next question comes in the line of Pratimesh Karekar. Pratimesh, go ahead. You need to unmute yourself, Pratimesh.
Hello, I'm audible?
Yes.
Yeah, first I would like to congratulate entire management team. You guys are doing fantastic work. The offerings and, you know, I'm working in technology. I'm chief security officer for one of the product companies. And you guys are doing awesome work. I'm tracking your work from business perspective as well as from financial perspective. It's awesome. Coming to the the questions part, so from strategy standpoint, my question is basically generally when we work in technology, there are three ways basically which are you know, in which you you can improve your financials. So one can be cost reductions. Second can be increase in the fees that you are charging to the client to keep, to maintain the margins that we have. And third can be something like you are providing volume based services like, you know, support staff or something like that. So in next 5 years, what would be your plan? Which strategy you would like to go for? As you know, you guys are in niche field, basically cloud and AI ML and all these things. And plus acquisition of philosophy has given you an edge in that strategic, you know, development as well. So what is your strategy? How you are looking at, you know, maintaining or adhering to the growth margin? Because the margin which currently you are getting, the rate of growth that you are going with, it's amazing. And how you can maintain that? Out of any of these three strategies, anything for next 5 years? That is first question.
So, Prathamesh,
there are
a few dissections to this. When you think of long-term strategy, the way we think about that comes from our core strategy of long-term relationship with our customers. Now, what that really means is in our go-to-market, when we look at customers, we look at how much headroom we have for growth within those customers. And in the next 3 to 5 years, one of the key areas we are going to be focusing on is, are we able to take our relationships, again, in monetary terms, are we able to take our relationships from our $1 million customers to our $3 million range, from our $3 million customers to a $5 million range and beyond? Are we able to get our customers which are sub-million range to over a million range? Now, there are specific actions that need to be taken within each one of these client accounts. Some could require innovation, some could require expansion of services and repositories in terms of what we tell them, what we are able to sell to them, and how we are able to service them in the best possible manner. In some cases, as you mentioned, volume is a possible strategy. We haven't really ventured into that area. But as customer relationships start to go beyond $5, $10 million range for us, some of those elements will start to come in. So it's very easy for me to go on and say yes to all three that you mentioned. But we will really end up looking at it on a case-by-case at a client level to really actually actualize and realize those value. For anybody in a management situation to sit down and think about a five-year strategy, you can paint any kind of dreams out there, but to really take that to heart and start to really put actionable items and set milestones on a quarterly or on a yearly basis is what we really love.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. Definitely it gives insight in, you know, your thought process. Definitely that would be useful. Second question is about a specific field. So basically you are already in niche fields in technology, right? So, and you know, I also work with different startups as a consultant in the area of cybersecurity. So since you are already offering a service and cloud is going to be a future, people keep on saying that. So do you have any plan to expand in cybersecurity domain as a service? Because I can understand currently you might have, you know, experts when you're providing any service to your clients, then they may say that, okay, we need to secure your setup as well. But as an offering, because there are very few companies, I guess one company which is completely into that field, and there is huge scope for that. And also margin, if you say compared to the implementation or any other support services that any company provides, the margins, the fees are pretty much higher in cybersecurity area. So do you have any plans for that?
Prathamesh, a simple answer could be we would love to partner with you.
Definitely, I'll get in touch because I, frankly speaking, I'm a huge fan of your company, the way you have grown and the thought process that you have. But I just, you know, want to understand that, do you have any such thing in mind? Because, you know, there are currently either Big Four or certain, you know, LLP firms, limited liability partnership firms,
or there is one company which is listed and which is offering security specific services. So do you have any plans to, you know, take that opportunity and expand into that space? Because security is aspect which will be everywhere. You take AIML, you need to secure it. You offer cloud services, you need to secure it, right? So from that perspective, are you planning to build one, you know, wing on that part?
At this time, we do not have any plans to venture into the security aspect of the business. And by the way, this question has come up many, many times in the last 20 years, Prathamesh, because it goes hand in hand in many, many cases. What security requires is a very specific type of expertise. And it requires that kind of a DNA right from the beginning. Now, fundamentally, historically, we have been business application developers. What we have been doing is business engineering. Create solutions that help businesses from a workflow standpoint, from digitization standpoint, taking companies and creating interaction flows for them, taking companies and creating opportunities where they are able to realize greater revenue or save cost on some of the efficiency-based software. Mm-hmm. So that is the DNA that we carry. Now, whether that DNA will have the ability to expand into security in the next 5-10 years, that is to be seen. That is anybody's guess at this point of time. And in the very short term, we don't plan to go. And that's where, if there are opportunities, we'd love to partner with companies like yours in the security and other areas where we don't operate.
Okay. Thank you so much. It was great to hear these responses and these meetings. Hearty congrats and for the great results and all the best for the future quarters. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prathamesh.
Thank you, Prathamesh. We'll take the next question on the line of Vedansh Agarwal. Vedansh, please go ahead.
Hello, and I'll just give a small disclaimer. I'm really sorry if these questions have been asked. I had to join in a bit late. I was caught up in some work. Firstly, I wanted to ask, what is the EBITDA margin for this quarter?
It is there in the presentation, in the results which have been sent out.
25% plus.
Vedansh, you got the answer? Vedansh, can you hear us? I think we've lost him. We'll take a follow-on from the line of VP Rajesh. VP, go ahead.
Yeah. I just don't have a question, but I just have a comment that I'm really impressed with the way you are acquiring companies. I mean, in this hot market, you're buying a company below 10 times EBITDA and you're paying over 3.5 years. I don't know how you pulled that rabbit, but congratulations to you guys. I mean, it's just super impressive. Very, very heartening to see.
Thank you. Thank you, Rajesh.
Thanks. That's all I had. Yeah.
If there's anyone else that has a question, please put your hand up. I think I see Vedansh again. Vedansh, if...
Do you have a time check?
Yeah, maybe just last question. Sure. Just the last question. No, sure. He's not there anyway. I've been trying to kind of do that. So any final comments from the management before we kind of wind up the call?
Thank you so much to all the people who have participated in this call. It was good to interact after a long time. I think this is only my second investor call, but we'll try to be a little bit more available on these calls. It is really good to know different perspectives and what you guys as investors are looking forward to. You are a very key stakeholder in all senses, in the literal sense and in the actual sense, in the figurative sense. So we will try and custodians of your trust, we will try to continue to earn your trust. We'll try and continue to march ahead, move forward. We believe that we have tremendous opportunities out there. It is for us to grab those opportunities, invest in the future, and make sure that Infobeans continues to provide value to all its stakeholders, including its team members, its investors, its clients, its vendors, and the society and the ecosystem that we exist in. So thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you so much, guys. Team Infobeans, Avinash, Mutesh, Siddharth, Surbhi, and everyone else. We do hope that you got all the questions answered. In case we have not answered anything, you can reach out to us. Both Asha and Pratik from my team will be available. And in case you need to get more inputs in the company, you can reach out to us and we'll set up a meeting with Avinash. And it's not a bad idea for some of you to come and visit our facilities in Indore. It's the facilities really mind-blowing. I mean, I've visited a lot of offices, but I've been there 2-3 times. So, you know, it gives you a sense of the culture that Siddharth was talking about. So I would appreciate you getting to Indore, and obviously you can have your gastronomic delights also kind of go into the, you know, the food streets and things like that. So with that, happy festive season to everyone else, and see you later. Bye.
Happy Diwali to everyone.
Happy Diwali. Bye, everyone. Bye. 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 Bye.